Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from John 20, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." Dear friends of Christ, some people think I'm backwards, and I want to prove that that assessment is true this morning. I want to do something. I want to attack our text this morning backwards. So instead of beginning at verse 19, I want to begin at verse 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, God wants you to have life. He wants you to have a full life, a life of joy. And you do, because you believe you have life in Christ's name. Now, and that all happens because the tomb is empty, right? It happens because he lives. And so our theme, believing you have life in his name. So, verse 31 really kind of carries all the impact, but verse 30 is the one that gets our attention. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. And so we think, okay, how many miracles did Jesus actually perform that aren't in the book? And of course, what about all the other miracles? Well, the Bible tells us they can't be numbered. I mean, the ones that we know of are pretty impressive, right? He changed water into wine, his first miracle. And then, of course, he fed 20,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's something. And then, of course, we know that he made the deaf to hear, the blind to see, and what about those people who couldn't walk? He healed their bones and their muscles in an instant so they could just stand up and move around. And of course, also, we see the full force of the power of Jesus on display when he spoke to the powerful storm, that ferocious storm, and he said, "Be still." And immediately, it obeyed. Immediately, it yielded to the voice of God in human flesh. The miracles of Christ. And yet, of all the miracles of which we know, perhaps all the greatest miracles were the miracle of life. The miracle where Jesus would go and he'd raise dead people from the grave. Lazarus and all the others. And why did he do that? To show that he has a power over death. Jesus has life in his name. And we see the life in Jesus' name, again, fully on display once when Jesus is raised from the grave. The tomb is empty. There's life in the name of Christ. There's life in Christ. And he rose from the tomb. And of course, the disciples were stunned. The disciples were shocked, as if they hadn't been expecting this. And they were all confused. And they, with excitement, said to one another, "We've seen the Lord! We've seen the Lord!" After Christ's ascension into heaven, Peter preached this sermon: "The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his right hand as leader and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins, and we're witnesses to these things." So, that's the power of Christ's miracle. Now, I want to go back. Let's go backwards a little bit to verse 29. "Then Jesus told Thomas, 'Because you've seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Now, you never witnessed any of those miracles. You haven't seen a single one. You weren't there when he raised the people from the dead. You weren't there when Peter and John got to enter the empty tomb. And what a sight that must have been, to walk into the tomb and see the grave clothes all folded up, and the tomb where his body had been laid empty. But you never saw that, and you never saw any of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. There were many of them, and yet you believe. And by believing, you have life in His name. You believe that one day, you're going to stop breathing, they're going to put your body in the grave, and your body is going to have a bodily resurrection at Christ's coming again. And that in your body, you're going to live on the new earth forever and ever and ever. Now we back up, going backwards to verse 24 and 25, and we turn our attention to Thomas. Thomas was the only disciple who refused to believe all this. Despite all the evidence that Christ had risen, our text read, "Now Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But Thomas said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.' And so for a whole week, one full, complete week, Thomas heard nothing except the disciples going over and over again, 'We've seen him, we've seen him, he's alive. We saw his nail marks, we saw the hole in his side.' One whole week, over and over again, 'We've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord, we've seen the Lord.' And yet none of that witness affected him. He lives. It was on their hearts, it was on their lips, it changed everything. And Thomas saw how it changed the disciples. It changed their whole countenance. It changed their enthusiasm. It changed their fervor for Christ. He lives. They were different, and yet, despite all that, I won't believe it. Still refused. How much evidence would it take to get Thomas to believe? Well, it would take a resurrection appearance. So we go back, verse 27, 28. Jesus told Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand, place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Yes, believing, he was saved in Christ's name. But you weren't there. You didn't put his hands into his side. You didn't put your finger into the nail wounds. You didn't see him. And yet you believe. And what does John say? "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And what do you believe? You believe Jesus is the Christ. You believe he's the anointed one, he's the chosen one, he's the Messiah. And you have life in his name. And that makes all the difference in the world. What does having life in Jesus' name mean? I want you to think about that, okay? Think about that before I give the answer in just a little bit. Now let's go backwards, okay? We're going to go backwards now to verse 19. "On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, were the disciples for the fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them." The women had seen the empty tomb. Peter and John had seen the empty tomb. They saw and they believed. What did they believe? They believed that he was the Christ, the living one. He lives. And then Jesus shows up. He appeared to all the disciples except for Thomas. Now, you weren't there. You didn't see that. He didn't appear to you. He didn't show up to you. You didn't get to touch his body. They did. When Jesus had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And they saw and they believed. And they had life in Christ's name. But what does having life in Christ's name mean? Well, let's back up. Let's go to verse 11. "Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb." Again, the tomb was empty. The body was gone. Where was Jesus? Well, Mary was soon to find out. because Jesus appeared to her and said, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." And Mary saw and Mary believed. And in believing, she had life in Christ's name. Now, you weren't there. You didn't see her. Jesus didn't call you by name. And yet, here you are. You believe. And because you believe, you have Christ in life's, you have life in Christ's name. But what does that mean to have life in Christ's name? Well, let's back up to verse 4. John outran Peter, reached the tomb first. And they saw the tomb, and John says of himself, the other disciple, speaking of himself, who reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Again, Peter and John saw the empty tomb, and they believed. Now, you weren't there. You didn't get to enter the tomb. You didn't get to see the grave clothes. They did, and they saw it, and they believed, and they had life in Christ's name. So what does that mean? What does it mean to have life in Christ's name? Well, Samuel Medley, like a medley of songs, tells us. So does the Bible, by the way. Job tells us too. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh will I see God, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me." Samuel Medley uses the words of Job and tells us what having life in Christ's name means. Now, Samuel Medley was born a long time ago. He was born in 1738, 200 years ago. Now, he knew how important it was that Jesus lives. He'd been raised in the faith. His mom, his dad, grandpa, grandma brought him to church every Sunday. They had daily devotions. Their relationship with Jesus in the family was very tight. Went to church every Sunday. They nurtured that relationship in Jesus. However, when Samuel entered the British Navy, his relationship with Jesus got kind of sloppy, got kind of messy. He stopped practicing his faith. He did what normal sailors do, wine, women, and song. Kind of fell away from the Lord. Didn't go to church, didn't read God's word, didn't pray. His relationship with Jesus was sloppy and falling apart. It's about the time when his leg got hurt in battle on the battleship. And then it got infected. And the doctor on the ship said, "If we're going to save your life, we're going to have to amputate your leg." Well, it's about that time that Samuel decided it would be a good idea to renew his relationship with Jesus. And so he prayed. He talked to Jesus all night. Because the doctor had said, "The leg isn't better in the morning, we're going to amputate, cut that thing off." He was distressed. The morning came, the doctor arrived with the news, "We don't have to amputate, your leg is better." Well, that made a difference in Samuel's life. That certainly changed Samuel. True story. He started taking his relationship with Jesus more seriously. He started going to church, started reading the Bible, started praying, and he grew. Eventually, his faith grew so much, he decided to enter the seminary, and he became a pastor. 261 years ago, Samuel wrote these words to a hymn you know well. "I know that my Redeemer lives." The words from Job. Turn your hymnals to page 461. 461. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is what most of the verses begin with. They begin with two words. 461. What are the two words that most of those verses begin with? He lives. So what does it mean that Jesus lives? What does it mean that you have life in His name? What difference does that make? Samuel lets us know. Now, he never mentions the night on the ship when he waited those long dark hours for his leg to be amputated. He doesn't mention any of that, but he does take us back to those moments of fear, those moments of worry and concern when he was on the ship. Now, follow me as I read, and I want you to think about the dark moments of your life. What does having life in Jesus' name mean? Verse 3, Samuel tells us, He lives. To bless me with His love, to plead for me above, my hungry soul to feed, to help in time of need. And it continues, verse 4, He lives to grant me rich supply, to guide me with His eye, to comfort me when faint, to hear my soul's complaint. Verse 5, He lives to silence all my fears, to wipe away my tears, to calm my troubled heart, all blessings to impart. Now go to verse 7. He lives and grants me daily breath, and I shall conquer death, my mansion to prepare, to bring me safely there. Now go back to verse 6. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. This one sentence changes everything. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. Indeed, one sentence, and yet so powerful. And John wrote, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.